Hello, welcome. Welcome to episode number one of the WPLDN podcast. WPLDN, for those of you that aren't familiar, is the WordPress London meetup. It's a free, inclusive and accessible event open to all, held on the last Thursday of the month in a central London location. The event is intended for anybody that interacts with WordPress in any way. Not only will you be able to attend the event for free and get to mingle with the incredible WordPress community, you'll also get to hear from some fantastic speakers every month. We'll have a Q&A session, and you will also get some free swag thrown in, as well as some food and drink. What more can you ask for from a free event? So onto this call today. I'd like to introduce you to my co-host and co-organizer, Gary Jones.
Gary, do you want Hi there. My name's Gary. I'm one of the, well, as Dan said, I'm one of the organizers for WordPress London monthly meetup, one of the organizers for the WordCamp London, a contributor to WordPress Core, a general translator for the British English for WordPress locale, and various other bits as pieces as well.
Thank you. Extremely busy man. And I'd also like to introduce you to our two guests today. First up, we've got Anna Silva. Anna, hi.
Hello. Hi. I'm Anna. I'm a communications manager at HumanMade, where I do kind of a range of kind of marketing activities. I write a lot of content, do some publicity as well, and we organise events. And I'm here to talk to you about WordCamp London 2018 and my experience leading the event this year.
Thank you. Looking forward to that. And John Blackburn. So I'd like to say hello, if you want to introduce yourself.
Yep. Hello, everyone. Thanks for having us on here, Dan. Going to be a pleasure, I hope. I'm a developer at HumanMade as well, the same company as where Anna works. I'm going to be speaking at WordCamp London, so I think we'll probably have a bit of a chat about that. I contribute to WordPress a lot. In fact, I've been involved for about 12 years now. I also actively involved in lots of WordPress-related stuff, such as WP, CLI, and the security team.
Excellent. Thank you. Well, guys, I just want to say a big thank you for joining us today. I know there's an awful lot going on in and around the community, obviously building up to WordCamp London. I just wanted to very quickly let you know about the next WordPress London meetup, which is going to be the 26th of April, kicking off at 6:30 at our new venue, which are the Cloudflare offices based in London. It'd be great to have you along. See wpldn.uk for more details. Okay, so Anna.
Hi.
We are very, very rapidly heading towards WordCamp London. For you, for those of you that don't know, Anna is the lead organizer for WordCamp London 2018. So yes, how is that going for you?
So it's actually happening in 3 days. So it kicks off very early morning on Friday. Gary, who's here, is leading our contributor day, as he has done for the last 3 years. And then we have the two conference days happening on Saturday and Sunday. We've got some social activities mixed in as well, so a nice after party on Saturday. All of that, £40. but to be honest, that I don't know how many tickets there are left. Yeah, we'll try and release a couple more over the next couple of days, but it will be kind of less than 10 tickets left at this stage.
Sure. So how would you describe a WordCamp? What is a WordCamp for those that aren't familiar?
So I think rather than kind of just do the kind of usual spiel, I'm thinking about this a little bit deeper, and I think personally for me, and I think for loads of people in the community as well, I'd say WordCamps are kind of like a celebration of a kind of year's effort of the local community. I think that there's a kind of a lot of vanity statistics on the event itself, you know, 600 people, 3 days, but really the event kind of celebrates all of the kind of invisible sometimes work that goes on in the background from the people in the community and kind of local as well. So Wear Camp London, obviously London, you know, being the capital, we have people from all over the UK involved. So it is kind of a huge effort, and it just celebrates kind of all of that effort over the year. But I think as well, if I can just add, there is a kind of a big focus in the WordPress community on kind of helping yourself. A lot of people are self-taught and have acquired the skills that they have through, you know, doing their own research. And I think what a WordCamp does really well is it kind of helps people to help themselves. So it might just be like a conversation that you have, that you strike up at the coffee station. And because of the kind of diversity of people that are there, there are loads of professionals and people with experience that might either have that solution for you or be able to give you the tools and resources and put you in the right direction to kind of find that solution.
Fantastic. I love that. A celebration of the community.
Yeah, definitely.
Fantastic answer. So how did you get into interested in leading or supporting and leading WordCamps?
Yeah, that's I was going to say by accident, but that's not true. It didn't really happen by accident. So I was really lucky to, I did an internship at Human Made about 3 years ago, 2015. And I was very lucky to be accepted, and I was given a job in the product team. So I started doing product marketing on some products, you know, Happy Tables, which you'd be familiar with. And that kind of, because, you know, I hadn't been involved in the WordPress community at all prior to that. But naturally, as soon as I joined Human Made, I was kind of thrown into the pulsing heart of the community because of Human Made's involvement. Or so many of my colleagues, you know, regularly speak, support, sponsor these events. And Human Made itself has kind of so much kind of commitment to providing people to do that work in kind of a range of different disciplines, from, you know, development, as you know, John is here, I was talking earlier about all his contributions and the contributions that the developers do, to all the way to events. So I hope that answers the question. I mean, it was you know, obviously Jenny Wong had been organizing the last two events. When I joined, Jenny Wong, as you know, she does so well, kind of drags people kicking and screaming into the community. No, I'm joking. There was no kicking and screaming. It was, I was very grateful to be kind of taken in by somebody who had so much experience. And I worked really closely with Jenny organizing the last two events.
Sure. Fantastic. So if somebody was thinking of getting involved in running a WordCamp, anywhere particularly you'd recommend them starting?
So I think it depends what kind of size the WordCamp is. I would say for smaller WordCamps, you know, 150, 200 people, I think you start in a different place. So I think I can only really answer for kind of the bigger WordCamps. And I would say if you're thinking of leading a WordCamp or running one, I would definitely get involved in the organization of one before you lead it, just because it really just kind of opens you up to all the different areas that you're dealing with. And a lot of times people think it's, you know, the logistical stuff that takes work. It's not. It's really kind of WordCamp London has a commitment to accessibility and inclusivity. And really and truly, it's that requires a lot of work. It's making sure that all these individual requirements are taken care of. And it's, you're not just paying lip service to it, right? Because it'd be very easy to do all the blog posts and, you know, all the tweets about inclusivity and accessibility. But if you didn't have people in the background actually answering emails that say, this is what I need in order to attend this WordCamp. And you might have kind of 20, 30, 40, 50 different emails, each with their own different requirement. Not that that's necessarily been the experience here, but, you know, that's just an example that you can have lots of individual requirements that you need to take care of. And I'd say that's where the work is. So just having a lot of patience and you know, the people in your team to really help you pull the event through.
Sure. Yes, there's been you mentioned there about the inclusivity of the event, specifically WordCamp London. There's an awful lot goes on in the background that I think possibly people just aren't generally aware of, or maybe aware of on the peripherals. I mean, certainly the childcare, for example.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and, you know, it's, I was thinking a little bit about this earlier. There's, and I mean, particularly, I've had this conversation with Gary before, where we've kind of talked about what accessibility means and what inclusivity means and all these kinds of things. And I think kind of after 3 years, what WakeUp London has done really well is it's kind of, I think I would like to say it's kind of set the standard for accessibility in terms of, you know, having STTRs. I go to more WordCamps nowadays and I see STTRs. And whereas maybe when I'd first started going to WordCamps, there weren't as many, and the same with childcare. So that's to kind of talk about the accessibility and inclusivity. And then what I think is the kind of another area, which is actually really difficult, is kind of representation and diversity. Because, you know, you can just pay to have childcare services. You can just pay to have live transcribers. What you can't pay for is you can't kind of physically force your speaker lineup to be diverse, even if you do all of the steps kind of beforehand to really try and open up the speaker applications and, you know, make the selection as kind of fair as possible, ultimately. And, you know, we had this experience this year. We're going to be organizing Gutenberg, and one of the things that we mentioned last week was all of the men, all of the people speaking at Gutenberg are kind of white men. And, you know, we know that the community isn't just made up of white men, but what can we do? Should we force women to speak? Should we force ethnic minorities to speak? You know, and you can ask people, but if they say no, they just say no. So that's been the most challenging part, I would say.
Yeah, there are certainly a lot of challenges out there. So I think it's a very rewarding process. But
yeah.
What, obviously there are a number of things that need to be done, need to be fulfilled throughout the whole process. Could you just kind of maybe run through some of the roles that are required as a team?
Yeah. So when I, like I was saying earlier, when I kind of joined WordCamp London in 2016, Jenny did a lot of work into kind of defining the different roles. So in fact, there's a blog post which we still use on the 2016 WordCamp London website, which kind of specifies how the organizing roles break down. I would say we've probably adapted that a little bit over the last 2 years. But in a kind of loose way, there are obviously kind of sponsors and budget, which is a huge part of the event. I'm really bad with budgets. So it's been an interesting challenge for me. But that's, you know, an enormous part of the event. Our kind of total money raised this year is kind of close to 90 grand now, which is kind of astronomical amounts of money, and the sponsors team have done a really good job. And, you know, you yourself, Dan, have been involved a lot in that kind of process. And obviously there's the kind of speakers, and that requires, that's really a kind of a task heavy role. It's a lot of kind of processing and admin stuff. There's communications, which are really important. It's all the stuff that goes over the blog and obviously social and directly to email accounts. There's design, which is a massive kind of area. It's volunteers. I don't want to forget anyone. But yeah, that's the kind of crux of the event. Mm-hmm. But of course, there are other things that I've forgotten. Sure.
Mm-hmm. How many? How many WordCamps have you been to yourself?
That's a good question. To be fair, in the last 10 months to a year, I haven't actually been to that many. I went to the majority of the WordCamps I attended, actually. Mm-hmm. I did that in the first year of joining Human Made, and that was a really good experience to mm-hmm. prepare me for not just my role in this kind of WordPress agency, but also for organizing WordCamp London. But I mean, maybe 10.
Yeah.
Not actually that many, something like that.
Can you remember your first?
Yes. So I was still doing my internship, actually. It was a really funny experience. My first WordPress London meetup was actually with you two, with Dan and Gary. And I'm probably, John, you were probably there too. I have a funny story about that, which I tell everyone. It's become my old WordPress story. But my first WordCamp was WordCamp Europe in 2015 in Seville. And, you know, I was kind of walking around and everyone kept saying, oh, you know, what do you do? Where do you kind of come from? And Human Made has, you know, this really prestigious reputation in the community, and people were really impressed that I was kind of interning at Human Made. I didn't really kind of understand the impact and significance of that. So it was a very kind of out of body experience I was having. Sorry, that's my email.
Excellent. Excellent. So if you were to say you're speaking to an individual that's considering getting involved in a WordCamp, what would be the one piece of advice you would recommend to them before they joined an organizational team?
Yeah, there's probably lots of advice. I think the funniest thing is I've heard, this is obviously a really relevant question. It's a really important one to ask organizers. And I've heard so many different WordCamp organizers kind of having their own take on it. And the funniest thing is I probably didn't take any of that advice. Not because I didn't want to, just because in practice, and maybe it's my personality type, but I'd say loads of people kind of, you don't realize how important that advice is until you actually either haven't done it or have got to a position where you should have done it. So I would say just do one, and then, I mean, as in like do an event, do a WordCamp, actually organize a WordCamp, and then you know, plan on organizing the next one and just improving what you did last time. Mm-hmm. Which is why I think it's good that we have 2 years of rotating organizers, so mm-hmm. that you can kind of just fix any mistakes that you made previously.
So would you recommend maybe getting in as a volunteer? Is that a kind of good
one? Thank you, Dan. Yeah, that is a very good a very practical response to the question. Absolutely. I volunteered at loads of WordCamps. That, in fact, like I was saying, in the first year of joining Human Made, that was when I went to the majority of the WordCamps, and I volunteered maybe like 5 or 6 different ones in that first year. And that was a really good experience to kind of just show you the diversity of WordCamp. So earlier we were talking about kind of what WordCamps are, and they're different things to, you know, different locations and to different people. I volunteered at smaller ones, I volunteered at bigger ones. And it was just kind of understanding how things run. Another thing I would do, obviously, is I would speak to the WordCamp organizer and, instead of just being a volunteer that comes on in the last 4 weeks of the event, I would maybe recommend that they can dedicate, you know, 2 days a month or something like that to kind of pick up the tasks and just get involved right at the beginning of the organizing process. I don't think, you know, there's lots that you can learn in the last 4 weeks, but a lot happens, obviously, you know, kind of 6 months prior to the event as well.
And kind of, actually kind of talking about that, what would you say in terms of WordCamp London, how's it been tailored for some of the new things that we've got coming up? So, for example, Gutenberg, GDPR, has got a lot of hot topics at the moment. Has that impacted the way London's been organised?
Yeah, so I think when we did the speaker selection, we were very aware that there were these kind of trending topics, so to speak, and we actually specified them in the schedule. We wanted to make it clear you know, that these were trending topics, and what we meant by that was that, you know, all topics are relevant, of course, because, you know, of the content that they deal with, but these are just kind of things which are, you know, very much at the forefront of people's minds, because they are not necessarily kind of temporary, but they're kind of happening now, as opposed to other things which are kind of always happening. But so I was talking earlier about Gutenberg, and we are running a session on Sunday lunchtime, and we tried to do this slightly differently. Rather than just kind of taking an application through the speaker process, we kind of came up with the initiative. In fact, it was suggested to me by somebody in the community that we do this. I got Gary involved, and Keith Devon and Mark Wilkinson, and I asked them to basically just come up with a format where people could have like an open discussion, which was tailored to this kind of how do we move forward with Gutenberg. So we only have a limited amount of time, but the idea there is to kind of share the experiences that people have, you know, from kind of agency owners and you know, freelancers, to kind of just come together and talk about how they're talking to their clients about Gutenberg.
Sure. I guess it almost comes back to the inclusivity side again, on a more internal perspective, from the WordPress perspective.
Yeah, and in fact, that's what I was kind of talking about earlier. It was here where we kind of struggled to have a diverse panel lineup. Like I said, we kind of got to 2 weeks before, about last week, and it was like, oh gosh, all of these people are men, and all of these people are white. And I think maybe we could have done things slightly differently. I think in the communications, I, you know, kept kind of going on about bringing together agency owners and business owners. And I think maybe that put people off a little bit. And I think all we were kind of really trying to do there is just identifying people who would have at least some experience talking to clients about Gutenberg. But, you know, it all comes down to how you phrase things, and communication is a really important part of that. So maybe next time we do that slightly differently and see what we get.
Part of that as well is what we're looking for, the diversity of kind of people's roles within the community. So the fact they were kind of an agency owner or freelancer, and that isn't necessarily in line with being a diversity of skin color, race, cultural background, whatever it might be that you're kind of looking for in that sort of diversity. Considerations that in this case we were focused on what value can we give to kind of people of the UK WordPress community in terms of prepping them to allow them to prep their clients or their potential leads or their kind of their developers. And just in this case, one hasn't managed to stay in line or be in sync up with the other.
I think what's been awesome as well to actually see over the years with WordCamp London is the way that the community as a whole learns. There's definitely a learning. Things improve from the mistakes and from the issues that arise. And it's not a case of we just continue trying to push doing the same thing over and over again.
And I think that was one of the main kind of ideas behind this. I certainly wanted to kind of offer not necessarily new formats, because this isn't a new format, really. It's a panel. But it's like a panel that has, you know, we've invited specific people. We've kind of, you know, really tailored the discussion so that it kind of follows, you know, one vein rather than kind of, you know, being all jumbled up into like lots of different, you know, because there are many different things that you could talk about here, but we only have 1 hour. So making sure that we are offering people a kind of slightly different way of approaching this, I think is good, because we also have the kind of standard presentations as well. So we'll have people talking about Gutenberg from kind of different perspectives, from design, from development, from business.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. So Anna's going to be giving an interview at the upcoming WordPress London meetup on the 26th of April. We are also going to be hearing from John. John's going to be speaking to us. So I'd like to just flip over now to John. You're going to be giving a talk, WPCLI, an intro and interesting use cases. Looking forward to hearing this. Maybe you could maybe give a bit more of a background of what the talk will be covering.
Sure, yeah. Dan, I just need to correct you there. Actually, the talk I'm giving is A to Z of WordPress multi-site.
Ah.
Sounds like you might have...
we picked the wrong one, have we?
Sounds like you might have read the schedule for the talk at the end of this month at WordPress London. So yeah, I'll be talking about WordPress, WPCLI at WordPress London.
And yes. I'll
be talking about multi-site at WordCamp London. We've got a bit of a branding problem here, and we've got WordPress London and WordCamp London. Yes.
Yeah, so this just wanted to talk about the your talk at WordPress meetup.
I'm going to be talking about WPCLI, which I don't think WPCLI is one of the hot topics that Anna was talking about. That tends to be much more kind of user-facing things like Gutenberg and that, but there's actually a lot of development going on with regard to WPCLI at the moment. It's lucky that there's a few sponsors on board that have sponsored some of the maintainers of WPCLI. So WPCLI is a command line interface to WordPress, which sounds a bit like an old-fashioned tool, but actually it's a very important kind of application for people who manage large numbers of WordPress sites, or maybe people who run small agencies or small freelance gigs where they're kind of repeatedly creating WordPress sites and populating them with content, and all that kind of stuff is much easier to do with WPCLI once you've mastered the commands. I'm going to be talking about that. I'll sort of do a bit of an intro for people who've got no idea what WPCLI is. I'll go through some interesting use cases for it, and then I'll cover some sort of advanced and in really interesting use cases that maybe people haven't thought of.
Excellent. Looking forward to this.
John, is there much of a learning curve in terms of kind of A, using WPCLI, and B, kind of perhaps developing extensions for it?
Yeah, so it all depends on your experience, really. A platform like WordPress is geared towards people hopefully being able to log into the admin area and kind of figure things out. You know, it's intended to be user-friendly. You can sort of see things and you can click on them and generally get an idea of how it works. But the difficulty with the command line interface is you're presented with a blank terminal window and you're expected to kind of figure out how to use it. So the documentation in WPCLI is very important, and all of the documentation that is on the WPCLI website is actually generated from the source code of WPCLI itself. So as far as the learning curve goes, it really depends on your experience of, it depends on your experience of using computers, using the terminal, using WordPress. You typically need a bit of experience of all of those in order to be able to learn how to use WPCLI. Like concepts of things like posts and taxonomies and terms and users. You need to be, I would say, reasonably familiar in order to make the most use of WPCLI. But then on the other hand, the documentation is very, very complete. Maybe not very, very complete, very, very thorough. So if you do need to figure out how to use commands, there's lots of documentation available in WordPress itself. We find that sometimes documentation is lacking. So we're the WPCLI team really focus on documenting how to use it. And then with regard to writing your own commands for WPCLI, I would say, again, you need some experience of writing PHP. All the commands are built in PHP. And again, you probably do need some experience of using WordPress and developing for WordPress in order to be able to sort of understand the best ways to construct commands and make use of the built-in commands in WPCLI and the APIs in WordPress itself.
So it is the WPCLI website. What's the URL of that?
Yeah, that's wp-cli.org.
Okay, and is that the best place to kind of to start in terms of finding the documentation, or is there any other place that you can get some tips?
Yeah. So the WPCLI website has links to all of the commands. They're all documented on there. There's also a handbook which covers things like configuration, how to connect to remote sites using WPCLI, and then there's also documentation on writing your own commands, and documentation about how to kind of get involved with the WPCLI community. So it's all on there, the commands and the more in-depth handbook, all on wp-cli.org.
Yep, and I've also got down here wp-cli.tips.
Yeah, so WPCLI Tips is a newsletter that I started at the end of last year. It's supposed to be a kind of a monthly newsletter, but my idea of a month is a bit longer than other people's, I think. A sporadic newsletter where I publish tips on using WPCLI, kind of how to make the most of it, and where to learn about the command line in general. In the most recent issue, I talked about identifying the corresponding CLI commands for all of the features in the admin area in WordPress. So for example, if you look at a dashboard widget in the WordPress admin area, I talked about how you could recreate that functionality in WPCLI, which is quite an interesting thought process. And it also helps you learn how to use WPCLI. So you can sign up for that at wp-cli.tips. And pop your email address in there, and you can view the archives as well from that link.
Are there any additional tools that kind of go along with WPCLI?
Yeah, there are a few. There's some that I mentioned in the newsletter. Actually, my favorite one is a command line tool called JQ. It's a JSON processing library It's kind of inspired by the syntax that jQuery uses. So if you've done any front-end development and you're used to using jQuery selectors, so for example, a period to select things by class name, or by the square brackets and a number to select things by their index, that kind of thing, you can use jQuery to process JSON data on the command line, which is quite interesting because a lot of the data that WP CLI uses and also the WordPress REST API is all in JSON. So this tiny little tool called JQ lets you do some really powerful processing. So I'd recommend checking that out. Beyond that, it really depends on what you want to do with WP CLI. So if you just want to kind of use it occasionally to maybe spin up some WordPress sites or install plugins, then you don't really need much at all apart from a terminal. If you want to really kind of go down the route of automation and kind of bulk site management and making things scriptable, then becoming familiar with the command line and bash scripting is a good idea. There's lots of tutorials online about getting into bash scripting. Interestingly, it's not my strongest area. You know, I've only had a couple of years experience of writing bash scripts. Using WP CLI has kind of given me an excuse to learn how to do more things on the command line in addition to using WP CLI. You know, I do more things in general on the command line.
Is WP CLI just something for perhaps a local site that you've got, or can you use it to manage kind of external sites as well that might be on a web host somewhere?
Yeah, so you can use it to manage remote sites. It's a really neat piece of functionality, actually. WP CLI supports this thing called aliases, which is a kind of a at syntax that you include in your command to refer to a different site. So, for example, I've got one on my laptop here that refers to the site that hosts my blog. So if I want to install a plugin on there, I can type something like WP at John plugin install and a plugin name. And instead of operating on the local machine, it will actually open up an SSH connection to the remote site and perform the action there. That's a really interesting kind of way of using WP CLI because it means you don't have to go through the hassle of opening up an SSH connection. Well, firstly, remembering your SSH credentials, sitting there typing them out, command line, getting them all correct, and then navigating to the correct directory. And this kind of alias syntax just lets you skip all of that altogether. Documentation for that is in the WP CLI handbook about connecting to and administrating remote sites. That's all on the WP CLI handbook.
Okay. What would you most like to see improved or added to WP CLI?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess the documentation is an ongoing effort, not only in WP CLI, but in the WordPress project itself, and probably even in the wider WordPress ecosystem. But it's particularly important in WP CLI because, as I said, the documentation in the code actually powers the handbook, and it powers the lists of commands that you get on the site, and it powers the help documentation inside WP CLI. So ensuring that that is as complete and as accurate and as user-friendly as possible is one of the things I've been concentrating on a little bit, actually, is helping improve the help text. So I'd say that as an ongoing issue, definitely the documentation. With regard to features, yeah, that's a good question. There's a command in WP CLI that allows you to do what's called scaffolding, which is it allows you to generate code through WP CLI. So, for example, if you want to create a custom post type on your website, instead of having to write out the PHP yourself, there's a command in WP CLI that will generate that PHP for you based on the parameters that you pass, and you copy and paste it into a PHP file, and there you go, you've got your custom post type, or you've got your what else have we got? Custom user roles, child themes, things like that. I'd like to see a few more commands for that, particularly one for creating Gutenberg blocks. There's a command that's in progress for that at the moment. Means that you don't have to necessarily learn all of the JavaScript that's required to create a Gutenberg block. So more of those I would like to see, because it's a really time-saving feature. You don't have to sit there and rewrite the same kind of PHP that you write every time. You can just provide some parameters and WP CLI will spit out the PHP for you to use.
Mm-hmm. And where can people contribute to WP CLI or the external packages?
The best place to start there is the WP CLI handbook, which is mentioned is on wp-cli.org. There's a link up the top of the page there called Handbook. And if you follow that through, there's some pages to that talk about pull requests, because WP CLI, interesting, is all completely managed on GitHub, unlike the WordPress project, which is on Subversion and Track. So you can contribute directly through pull requests and issues. If you want to get more involved, there's also weekly meetings that happen in Slack. The channel name, I believe, is just hashtag CLI in the WordPress Slack, which is wordpress.slack.com. There's weekly meetings that happen, and there's general discussion about WP CLI in general. So that would be a great place to jump into as well, to see what discussions are going on.
And what do you reckon the kind of future of the of WP CLI? I mean, it's already been, it kind of exists as one of the make.wordpress.org teams, and it's because it was an externally kind of developed by a group of developers, and now being brought under kind of the WordPress umbrella. Where do you see, how do you see that improving or changing in the future?
Yeah, that's an interesting question as well, because the workflow for creating WP CLI is completely separate from WordPress itself, because it is a completely separate project. So it's free from all of the historical constraints that the WordPress project has. The reason the WordPress project hasn't moved to GitHub is not only a technical issue, it's also a workflow issue, and it's a big change overall that we've got 4,000 tickets that are open in the WordPress bug tracker. You know, do we consider migrating those over to GitHub if we wanted to? Whereas WP CLI is free from these historical constraints, so it could well end up affecting the wider WordPress project. Gutenberg, for example, which is the upcoming editor, the upcoming new editor in WordPress, is all completely developed on GitHub. So potentially these kind of standalone projects, which are being developed outside of the regular WordPress feature development workflow, could impact the way that the WordPress project itself is operated, not only from a technical point of view, but also from kind of point of view of people management and feature request management and bug reports, all that kind of stuff. So I would say that WP CLI itself is happily ticking along on GitHub. There's no major issues with it. If you're interested in sort of project management for open source projects, it is an interesting one to look at, because WP CLI actually uses separate repo for the majority of the commands in GitHub, and then they're all kind of pulled together using a composer package generator.
Sounds
so
cool.
I would say in the short term, no big changes. It's all ticking along quite nicely.
Cool. Okay. One of the things you mentioned there was obviously about kind of WordPress and the track and so on. One of your previous roles was as the lead for WordPress 4.1, I think. Mm-hmm. How was that experience? Kind of, would you do it again?
Mm-hmm. That was quite a while ago now. So the project as a whole is quite different from then. Rather, the release process is quite a lot different from then. The WordPress project suffered for a couple of years, I think, with this idea of just one person being the release lead for a release of WordPress. And some of those releases took up to 6 months, even though we tried to keep them to approximately 4 months. So there was this kind of a bottleneck, really, of the release lead. So since I led the WordPress release, things have changed quite a lot. We tend to have a release lead and a deputy lead, and also sort of a design lead. You know, we have project leads who operate different roles, and that kind of reduces this bottleneck and this heavy burden on one or two people. So sort of to answer the question, would I lead another release of WordPress? Yes, I would, but the whole process would be very different. It wouldn't be John Blackporn is the release lead for WordPress 5.x. You know, it'd be John Blackporn would be maybe the technical lead, and someone else would be the design lead, and someone else would be the project manager, and that's a big improvement for the WordPress ecosystem. And that's kind of what's happening with Gutenberg as well. You know, there's 3, 4, 5 people who are really leading it.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting to see how the project is evolving over time. We're coming up to its 15th anniversary. And I think are we through those kind of awkward teen years yet? Or are we heading directly into them?
No, I think we're well in the middle of them. I think we've got a few more years yet until we graduate.
Yes. John, you also mentioned there that you're speaking at WordCamp London as well this coming weekend. So obviously you're a busy individual as well. Got lots
That's of... right. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry for the confusion earlier on there, Dan. Yeah, I'm talking at WordCamp London as well at the weekend. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be talking about WordPress multi-site, which again is not one of the shiny hot topics that we like to talk about. Maybe I should start talking about some shiny new things instead. But I'll be talking about WordPress multi-site, and similarly I'll be kind of introing people to it and going through some common use cases and giving a bit of a live demo of multi-site, and then talking about some advanced uses for it. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, there's actually two talks about multi-site this year at WordCamp London. There's another one in the business track, which is a bit more by a lady called Sabrina Zeden, which is a bit more of a kind of a business and end user focused talk, whereas mine is a little bit more of a technical talk.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So yeah, if you're interested in multi-site, probably hit up both of those talks and you'll learn a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you say we're not talking about the kind of the new shiny stuff, but actually, we need the core, we need the solid stuff at the foundation as well, don't we?
Yeah, and that's right. And WordPress multi-site is the kind of foundation of actually some of the most highly trafficked websites on the internet. Really, there's large newspapers using it, there's universities using it, and all the front end stuff, of course, is brilliant, but you do still need some back end stuff to power it all.
Absolutely. I guess as a team, both yourself, Anna and John, in Humor Made, you've used quite a bit of multi-site, haven't you, for the stuff that you do?
Yeah, we typically use multi-site at Humor Made for quite a lot of projects, actually. It's great for publishers who have kind of related titles. We have some newspapers who have their regional variations, and they manage several websites on one WordPress multi-site installation, and reduces a lot of overhead. It reduces duplication of things like plugins and themes and maintenance and updates between multiple sites.
Sure, excellent. Right, well, I'm very aware that we've taken up quite a bit of your time here today. And obviously, you're both very very busy individuals. I just want to say a big thank you to both of you, Anna and John, for giving your time today and being with us here to talk about your upcoming talks at WordPress London Meetup. Gary, I just want to say a big thanks to you for giving your time, helping obviously co-organise both this and the meetup itself.
That's right. Thank you, Dan, for hosting this session.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dan, for inviting us. It's been fun.
Thanks, Dan.
Excellent. Well, thank you, guys. And we shall see you, well, in just a couple of days' time at WordCamp London. But we will also see you at the WordPress London meetup on the 26th of April at the Cloudflare offices in London. But for now, I'd like to say thank you to all of you and see you again.
Thank you so much. See you later.
Bye. Bye. Bye.